أهلا.
Hannah, it's Ruby. I'm on.
Hello, this.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Okay, I'm going to mute my phone again.
Okay. As soon as he comes on, I will.
Hag Sameach. Happy Hanukkah.
Hag Sameach.
Are you ready?
Monica? Yes, I am. Ruby's on as well.
Okay. Okay, I think Malka's on also.
Yeah,
I don't know. Oh, okay, good.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions before we light candles?
I have a question about leaving out shell and it having an association with healing. Is it Lamed Ner, Lamed Nun Shin, that's the three-letter triad name, or is
no,
it referring to the fifth?
Lamed Nun Het. It's Lamed Nun Het. So
okay,
first letter of the last three words.
Wait, you broke off. Try again.
It's the first letter of the last three words in the first blessing.
Okay.
Lehadlik Ner Hanukkah.
Okay.
The first letter is
okay.
Lamed Nun Chet.
Chet. Okay. All right. So it's not referring to the fifth name of the fifth triad or three letter
no.
name, the 72. Okay.
No, it's not in the 72 names, but it's a name of healing, which
okay.
It comes from the idea of the number 88.
Okay.
Which is a gematria of the three letters.
Okay.
So is everyone ready to light?
Yes.
Okay. Eloheinu melech haolam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lehadlik. 180 is the gematria of lehadlik, which is the sum of 72 and 63 and 45, which are the three levels of Hashem's name for Chachma, Bina, and Zeranpin. Yud Aleph Hey Hey Vav Yud Hey Hey Aleph yud lamed hey hey vav yud hey mem sofi yud aleph hey dalet vav nun hey yud Chanukah lamed Nun chet, teach comfort. Baruch atah Adonai Yohei Wahei Eloheinu Melech haolam Sheah Nisim la'avoteinu Bayamim ahem bazman hazeh. Light your candles. Candles burn. Yeah. The handout today is on the Unique Astrological Times link underneath the pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. When you open up that link, scroll down to the section on Hanukkah, and it's the second link under that for the lighting of the second candle, the 26th of Kislev. And the 26th is, according to the Rashash, a Sephardic sage from the 1800s, it's a connection to the Netzach of the Nukva, which is Malchut of the month of Tiferet of Zeranpin. And the commentary I have left us is, if you think you understand what the Rashash is teaching us, you do not. Overcoming the power of receiving. On the 26th day of Kislev, the second night of Hanukkah, we receive the teaching of the Rashash that Hanukkah is in the blessing over the Ner, over the lamps. We are to parse the word Hanukkah into two words, Hanukku. Hanukkah, know how it's spelled, and the same letters rearranged spell two words, Kana and Ku. Chana is the mother, and the martyr played a famous role in Hanukkah and is described below. Chana's name has the gematria of 63, which is a connection to Bina, which is a connection to Hanukkah, and which is a form of Hashem's name related to the mother, to the Ima, to the Bina. And the spelling of that name is Yud Vav Dalet Hey Yud Vav Aleph Vav Hey Yud. And the word Ku, Kach Vav, is a gematria 26, which as students of Kabbalah you should recognize as the gematria of Hashem's name of Yud Hey Vav Hey. And the Ben Ish Chai is revealing to us other correlations with the number 26. The holy name Yud Aleph He Yud totals 26 also. The great Hallel of Psalm 136 has 26 verses. The 10 holy names from your great name, which total 10 times 26, or 260. The secret of the depths hinted in the verse, Mima ma'akim karaticha Hashem, from the depths I call to you, Hashem, which is 10 times 26, or 260. Antiochus was determined to enforce his vicious edicts upon the Jews, effectively destroying their attachment to the Torah. He forbade the observance of all religious laws. Anyone found with a Torah would be executed. Circumcision, kosher food, Shabbat, all of the mitzvot that separated a person from Greek wisdom were outlawed. Philip was appointed governor of Judea, and he set out to ruthlessly enforce the king's edicts. He decided to begin his campaign with the arrest of the notable sage and high priest, Eleazar. Eleazar thwarted Philip's design by choosing martyrdom over submission. Soon after, Chana and her seven sons were arrested. When the king, who was returning to Antioch, heard about the events which were taking place in Jerusalem, he decided to take an active role in enforcing his decrees. The mother and her sons were bound and brought before the king. Antiochus tried to convince the eldest boy to abandon the Torah. The youth responded with great confidence, "Why do you bother with this long speech, trying to inflict your abominable religion upon us? We are ready to welcome death for the sake of our holy Torah." The king was furious and ordered the boy's tongue, hands, and feet severed and placed in a fire. The soldiers proceeded to torture the boy, forcing his mother and six brothers to watch his excruciating pain. Antiochus was sure that this sight would intimidate his prisoners into unquestioning submission. Instead, the martyrdom spurred the family to a deep resolve to accept their fate and to sanctify God's name. When the second brother was brought to the king, even the members of the king's retinue begged the boy to obey the king. The boy, however, replied, "Do what you will with me. I am no less than my brother in devotion to Hashem." The second son's torture was as bitter as his brother's had been. As he died, he told the king, "Woe to you, pitiless tyrant. Our souls go to Hashem, and when Hashem will awaken the dead and his martyred servants, we will live. But you, your soul will dwell in a place of eternal abhorrence." My commentary. As children, we understand this human reaction to curse someone else. As adults, we need to learn to beg Hashem to forgive our enemies, since our enemies have parts of our uncorrected souls, that the only way to make tikkun for these soul parts is to ask Hashem to forgive our enemies. This is taught by the Baal Shem Tov and our class series of You Are Who You Hate. Ultimately, we will see that our lack of unity in doing our spiritual work properly is why these atrocities are allowed to be affected on our bodies. In this case, in my opinion, the Greeks and then the Romans were invited into the land to use their political, human, physical power to protect the nation, instead of turning to Hashem as our only protection. This still goes on today. We depend on the United States as the world power to protect the nation state of Israel, when our only protection comes from Hashem. Our enemies called Palestinians today are actually part of the 10 lost tribes, and their souls, along with our souls, that still needs to be corrected and achieve our tikkun. Returning to the story of Hannah and her 7 sons. To the amazement of all, the third brother unflinchingly suffered the same fate. The fourth brother echoed his brother's exhortations and faced his brutal death with firm resolve. Before he was killed, the fifth brother turned to Antiochus and said, "Don't suppose that God has handed us over to you to exalt you, or because he hates us. It is because he loves us and has granted us this honor. Hashem will take his vengeance upon you and your progeny." My commentary. If the foreign king is doing the will of Hashem, why is he going to be punished for doing what Hashem wants? The same question has to be asked about Pharaoh in the time of the Exodus. The answer relates to the individual human going overboard in doing his action to wake up the children of Israel. The Egyptians went overboard with respect to their hard labor on the children of Israel. The Greeks and then the Romans also went overboard to try to change each individual's connection to the Creator. Germany during the Shoah did not go overboard, and that is why the German people recovered from the Second World War on a physical level. Yes, I know the Shoah seems to be an overboard, and to some extent this is true. Individuals went overboard, not the whole nation. This is my opinion. Returning to the story of Hannah and her 7 sons. The bloodlust of the king was not assuaged, and the 6th brother was brought to the same end as his brothers, who preceded him. His words bespoke his deep faith that God would ultimately require the suffering of his servants. Throughout this horrible sequence, Hannah stood by her sons, giving them strength and encouragement. Now only the youngest child remained to face the king. When they brought the boy, the king offered him gold and silver if he would do his will. The 7-year-old boy displayed the same courage as his brothers and taunted the king to carry out his threats. The king couldn't believe such words coming from a mere child. And he called out to Hannah. Hannah stood before the murderer of her children and listened to his words. Woman, have compassion upon this child. Persuade him to do my will, so that you will have at least one surviving child, and you too will live. She pretended to agree and asked to speak with her son. When they stood together, Hannah kissed the boy. Then she said, my son, I carried you in my body for 9 months. I nursed you for the 2 years, and I have fed you until today. I have taught you to fear Hashem and uphold his Torah. See the heaven and the earth, the sea and the land, fire, water, wind, and every other creation. Know that they were all created by God's word. He created man to serve him, and he will reward man for his deeds. The king knows he is condemned before Hashem. He thinks that if he could convince you, Hashem will have mercy on him. Hashem controls your life's breath and can take your soul whenever he desires. If only I could see the greatness of your glorious place, where we would be illuminated with God's light and rejoice and exult together. Hannah returned to the king, saying, I was unable to prevail upon him. The exasperated king again addressed the child, who answered him, whom are you seeking to overpower with your words and enticements? I laugh at your foolishness. I know in the Torah and in God whom you blaspheme. You will remain an abomination upon all mankind, loathsome and far from Hashem. The king was enraged. According to the Talmud, Antiochus gave the boy a chance to save himself by ostensibly bowing down to retrieve his signet ring. But the boy refused. As they removed him, Hannah begged to kiss him one last time. As if speaking to all 7 children, Hannah said, my children, tell your ancestor Abraham, you bound only one son upon an altar, but I bound 7. Then Antiochus ordered that the child be tortured even more than his brothers. Hannah was left surrounded by the bodies of her sons, a prayer exalting God on her lips. Then the distraught woman threw herself from a roof and rested beside her martyred ones. After lighting the candles and as we watched them burn down, here is the contemplation, the Hitvoninut. Hitvoninut. Today we access the 26th. The Gematria of Hashem, the great holy name of Yud He Vav He. Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, the luminous love light of the One. Famous ancestors accessed this name, the 26th. Yitzhak, whose name totals 208, which is 8 times 26. His son Yaakov, whose name is 182, which is 7 times 26. His son Yosef, whose name totals 156, which is 6 times 26. Where was Abraham with the 226? His name totals 248, for the 248 limbs of the Shekhinah, Hashem's feminine divine presence, as well as 8 times Shem, the name Kel, or Aleph Lamed, which is 31, standing for Chesed, 31 is 26 plus 1 for each letter of the name, plus the kolel for the whole name. It also is the filling of Tag, which is the great holy name related to Bina. It's Bodhi Dut, a meditation. Tonight is all about bringing the flow of the Holy Mother, Holy Mothering energy from mother to daughter. According to the Rashash, based on the Arizal, the Ner, the lamp, stands for the Malchut, which receives the flow from Zeranpin, the masculine giving energy of God. When we say the words Ner Chanukah in the blessing after lighting, we intend that the Ner, the Malchut, receives the Shefa, the abundance from Ima, from the mother, hinted in the parsing of Hanukkah as Hanaku, or the names Tag, representing the Supernal Mother. There at the two candles you lit tonight. Ignore the Shamash. Imagine that the first candle on the right stands for Bina, or Mother. Intend that the name Sag is the other. This is the light of Chana sharing the same gematria. Feel the light emerging from your left brain, the left side of your skull. This is mothering energy, energy of strength, of protection, of nurturing, of sacrifice for one's child. Pour that energy into your heart, represented by the space between the two candles. Your heart stands for the letters Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Ku of Hanukkah mentioned above. Now direct the flow from your heart, the name Hashem, to the second candle. The one to the left of the first one you lit through your entire body down to the earth, which is the Malchut. Also the menorah, which receives this energy with the power of the light that comes from above through your heart, through your body, to the ground. Believe that you can overcome all obstacles in your way, as the Hashmonaim, through the Maccabees, overcame the Syrian Hellenists, forces that sought to defeat them. Know in your heart of hearts that your issues are now a bit brighter, a bit lighter, and less taxing to your soul. Here is a non-Kabbalistic spiritual teaching. The Talmud says that the time for the mitzvah of candle lighting is until the last person has left the market. On a simple level, this means that in order to publicize the miracle, one should light candles while there are still people about. However, on a slightly deeper level, one should understand this as meaning that we need the light of the candles, the light of Torah, to illuminate the world until the seemingly overwhelmingly powerful force of the marketplace is overpowered by that light. Ad she'tichle regel min hashuk, until all have left the market, the marketplace of ideas, and return to life, meaning Hashem and Torah, return to the light that shines from Sinai, the light of mutual obligation and responsibility, which our sages teach is the ultimate level of love for our neighbors. Tonight's class is questions and answers on any subject. I still have more things to read as part of our candles, but any questions that you might have to ask at this time is appropriate. So did anybody bring any questions with them to this class, or does something occur to you to draw the light by asking a question? While you're thinking of questions, I will read some more. This is a meditation for Hanukkah. It's titled Meditation in Torah. In the evening prayers, we describe the study of the Torah's words in the following way: for they are our life and the length of our days, and about them we will meditate day and night. For the words of the Torah to be truly comprehended and integrated into our lives, they need to be meditated upon. By doing so, each person, in accord with his or her own capabilities, reveals some of the Torah's infinite layers of meaning and significance. Indeed, by employing a mystical manipulation of the Hebrew alphabet called Atbash, where the first letter of the alphabet is exchanged for the last letter, and so forth, the word for light, Ora, which begins with the first letter Aleph, becomes the word Torah, which begins with the last letter, the Tav. The fact that in this mystical alphabet, Torah and light are interchangeable alerts us to the spiritual life concealed within the words of the Torah that is just waiting to reveal itself to and through us. To access such light, the quality of our consciousness is key, which is where Jewish meditation comes in, to sensitize and refine the mind and heart in preparation to receive and reveal the infinite light of God and Torah. The primary word for meditation in Hebrew is hit boninut, from the root bina, understanding, and boneh, building. The purpose of Jewish meditation is to build new understanding and attain new insight into the nature of Hashem, the nature of the world, the nature of Torah, and our own nature. With each new insight comes additional spiritual light. Many types of Jewish meditation, therefore, entail deep and focused contemplation of specific words, verses, concepts, and stories from the Torah. The more one knows about the particular subject being contemplated, the more imaginative connections will blaze across one's mind, illuminating previously obscured areas and ideas. Rabbi Abraham Adulafia, a 13th century teacher of Kabbalah, formalized a method of meditating on words by permutating their letters in order to yield deeper and deeper levels of understanding of the inner dynamics and concepts contained in the words. Other Kabbalists use the numerical values of letters, of words, and of verses to probe for associations and connections not apparent on a superficial level. Both of these extra-textual practices represent a less rational and more experiential or intuitive approach the language in Torah, opening up more effective and imaginative pathways for one to encounter the divine within the context of sacred study. Now for some additional ideas connected to the candle of Hashem is the soul of man. The candle of Hashem. One particular verse mentioned repeatedly in Kabbalistic and Hasidic texts regarding meditating on the lights of the Hanukkah is the candle of Hashem is the soul of man. This verse serves as a potent focal point for meditating on the essential connections between light, the soul of man, and the Creator. Although one does not need a physical flame to meditate on this verse, there is no doubt that being in the presence of the Hanukkah lights enhances the evocative imagery that this verse so effectively conjures up. Take a moment to sit peacefully in the light of the candles and repeat this short poetic phrase to yourself for as long as feels fruitful. The candle of God is the soul of man. The candle of Hashem is the soul of man. The candle of Hashem is the soul of man. The candle of Hashem is the soul of man. The candle of Hashem is the soul of man. The candle of Hashem is the soul of man. Ner Hashem Neshama Adam. 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 Ner Hashem Neshama surrounding aura of the lights envelop you as you see your soul reflect back to you in the quietly dancing theme flame of the candles. Meditating on the various colors of a flame. Many explanations have been given to elucidate the symbolic correspondence between the five parts of a candle's flame. The wick, the inner blue light around the wick, the dark light hovering above the blue light, the yellow body of the light itself, and the diffused glow radiating from the flame. The five parts of the soul, as discussed in Kabbalah. The five names of the soul as learned from an ancient midrash are Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Each name refers to an ascending hierarchy of soul powers and serves as a powerful tool in analyzing and understanding the human psyche. Nefesh, the lowest level of the soul, refers to what is commonly termed the animal soul, the instincts and appetites that drive and patterns of human action, most associated with the body of man. The ruach, or the spirit, relates to the emotions. The neshama, the inner soul, is considered the seat of the intellect. Chaya, the living one, refers to the interaction between consciousness and its superconscious origin. And Yechida, the single unique one, relates to the most divine aspect of soul. One of the ways to contemplate the correspondence between the five levels of the soul and the component parts of the flame is in the following manner. The wick is the nefesh. The blue part of the flame is the ruach. The black part of the flame, the neshama, the main body of the flame, the chaya, and the surrounding aura of light, the yechida. Gazing at the component parts of the flame and contemplating the five corresponding levels of the soul is a very potent and meaningful exercise to integrate and activate the soul and all its potential. Consider how the various parts of the flame all comprise one total entity that is greater than the sum of its parts. Just as the candle is one, so too is the soul. Allow this understanding to reverberate through you, revealing the individual wholeness of body and soul. Watch the flames as they sputter out. Look at the wick that's been charred, the nefesh that has to put up with the body itself, the blue part of the flame, the ruach. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. 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 This is a question and answers class. Samtha teacher class. This is a growing class. And without questions, there cannot be growth. Last night, we connected to the full meditation of Hashem's name with our ego, our I, our Ani. Tonight, we will use the same meditation, but just the first page of that meditation, the Hebrew letters. But we will start at the bottom of the page, which is the Malchut, and go up step by step until the Keter. And always remember that this, while we see a line going up, it's really a circle where the end of Malchut is in the beginning of the Keter. And the Keter, the beginning, is in the end, the Malchut. So you may see a line, but truly see the circle.
Yeah, hey, me, way, oh, hey.
Happy Hanukkah to all, and to all, may you have a full shalom, a complete peace and serenity. Shalom.
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 To you.
Thank you. Happy Hanukkah. Shalom.